Ever feel like there's just so much to do around the home and it can be completely overwhelming? When your to-do list keeps growing, TaskRabbit is ready to help. Just pick a trusted tasker and they'll show up and get it done. And taskers are often available to help the same day. I've been using TaskRabbit for years now. When my now husband moved in, we hired a tasker to create a gallery wall for us. And even just recently, we used TaskRabbit to disassemble and remove our old bed frame. Even now with a partner, it really saves us the anguish and sometimes arguments that come from doing tasks we don't really have a ton of experience with. You can search based on cost, skill set, availability, and past client reviews, so you know exactly who is showing up. When life happens, your to-do list grows. Get ahead of it now and get $15 off your first task at TaskRabbit.com or on the TaskRabbit app using promo code POR. Taskers book up fast, especially for same-day tasks, so book trusted home help today. That's $15 off your first task using promo code POR with the TaskRabbit app or at TaskRabbit.com. Your home is more than just furniture. It's an extension of you. And even small details like a rug can completely change how a space feels. I love Ruggable because they prove you should never have to choose between a home that looks great and one that's actually livable. Our living room rug was looking a bit dirty lately, so we decided to get a new one from Ruggable. I was instantly drawn to their plush all-in-one rugs because I just love a soft texture, especially when watching TV on the couch. We went with the Finley Smoke Gray Plush Rug. It's really made our space feel so much cozier, and I love that you can just throw it in the wash when needed. It's been so much easier to keep this rug clean because we are often guilty of eating while watching TV, and we need a rug that suits our lifestyle. If you're looking for a high-quality look that's stain-resistant, machine-washable, and has built-in non-slip backing, then Ruggable is for you. Refresh your home with Ruggable.com. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with promo code POR at Ruggable.com. That's Ruggable.com and use code POR at checkout. I'm Julie Kraftchick.
And I'm Yue Xu. This is The Psychology of Relationships. Loneliness isn't just a personal struggle. It's becoming a cultural one. And lately, much of the conversation has centered on the rise of lonely single men, often framed as a crisis without much nuance or context. In this episode, we're joined by Dr. Greg Matos, psychologist and author of the viral article, What's Behind the Rise of Lonely Single Men? To unpack what's really driving this trend, we explore how relationship standards and gender roles have shifted, why there's a growing skills deficit for both men and women when it comes to building and sustaining relationships, and how emotional literacy, communication, and relational competence were never actually taught to most of us. Rather than pointing fingers, this conversation focuses on responsibility, growth, and possibility. Dr. Matos breaks down what meaningful change looks like, how we can better understand our partners, and what it takes to build healthier, more connected relationships moving forward. Remember to subscribe to The Psychology of Relationships on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And if this episode helped reframe how you think about the connections and the loneliness epidemic, we'd love a rating or review. This is The Psychology of Relationships, and you're listening to an episode that just might change the way you show up for love. Enjoy. Who is this man that's causing such a splash? His name is Dr. Greg Matos. The article that he recently wrote in Psychology Today is called The Rise of Lonely Single Men. That's been shared a gajillion times. What made you write this article, The Rise of Lonely Single Men?
Yeah, I mean, two things. Primarily, the first being that I spent the last year building a Better Love Project, which is my 501c3 charity. We're at a Better Love Project. We have over 40,000 followers there on TikTok and YouTube and elsewhere. And I basically was spending a lot of time with women, which is not new for me. I grew up with a home with five older sisters, an amazing mom and dad as well. But I spent a lot of time listening to my audience, which I'm sure you do often because we care about our audience. We're actually invested in our audience well-being and our listeners' well-being. And the women who I was speaking to were around my age. So we're talking, you know, 25 to 35. I'm a little older than that right now, but that's our demo age range. And women, most especially women who are either single, women who were in relationships where they're lacking emotional connection, or folks who had, like me, been married, divorced, and who were dating again. So people at all the ranges of relationships you can be in were all telling me the same thing, which again is nothing new, which is why I'm surprising that it went viral. Because listen, ask any one of your audience members, and I did not say anything surprising, all right? But apparently it was shocking. And then apparently also it angered a lot of mostly single white men who were like harassing me and telling me I was all sorts of other things. I hope for their sake that they actually read my article.
Yeah, it's the people that you need to read it, of course. So are you seeing this, you know, mostly with hetero men, or is it across the gamut?
Most of my audience members, I mean, this is really what it's at. And TikTok, like I said, hundreds of audience members who I've spoken to over the last year on TikTok, most of them in heterosexual relationships. We know that love, true love, fierce love, a healthy love has absolutely nothing to do with sexual orientation or gender expression or any of those things, those social constructs. But when it comes down to it, heterosexual men specifically, my brothers out there, who I have a deep well of compassion for, are struggling in being able to dream with the people they're dating and the people that they're getting married to, and being able to satisfy them and themselves, even though they don't understand that yet, but satisfying themselves, be happier, healthier, and have a more emotionally rich existence if they just focus on a few life skills that I teach at A Better Love Project, by the way, for free.
Nice. Very kind of you. Now, the reason why your article was shared so much is the title. I actually feel like a lot of people didn't even read through the entire article before they hit the share button. That title is probably quite triggering for some people, like the men who've been harassing you. Can you put it in your own words for those people who did not read through the entire article before they shared what the article is about?
So I'm guessing that your audience members are out there looking for the love of their life. Maybe they believe that there are multiple loves that they could have. Who knows? That's what I believe, by the way. But whoever you are and whatever you're doing, married or not, if you look at the relationship landscape right now and you see what dating looks like right now, the one key thing that really got me going here in writing this article was the fact that if you look at online dating, if you look at dating apps specifically, most women that I have spoken to through TikTok and elsewhere are either fed up, overwhelmed, exhausted by the whole fucking thing. Mm-hmm. And the primary reason, I think, is that 62%, 64% of app users are men. Most folks on the apps, heterosexual, most seeking heterosexual relationships, not enough men that the women want, but many men who are seeking relationships. And if you don't know how to establish emotional connection via text message, for instance, which is a very soft skill, very key skill, then you're going to lose the game from the get-go. I mean, I didn't go into that detail, but bottom line, women in general, heterosexual women in general, I'll say this loud and clear because this is the most important point, healthy relationship standards for that group of human beings is rising, and they're able to exist in a happy state of bliss single much longer than men, including me, can. And what we know is that one of the things that most of these folks are looking for is a more emotionally rich, connected relationship with someone who can effectively communicate with them. And there's nothing new about what I'm saying, but right. I'm saying it.
Well, we definitely are going to dive into the more specifics, but I'm curious before we do that, like your own experience, I know you've observed all these people, like, is this something that you've struggled with and had to learn to overcome? Or do you feel like these skills have come naturally to you?
Skills. Okay, here we go. We're getting into it, ladies and gentlemen. The one inclination I have as a psychologist is like never self-disclose, right? So I'm getting over it with you right here on the Dateable Podcast.
It's history.
Making it right now. I mentioned to you before, I grew up in a large family. It was a large Portuguese family, very traditional gender roles, very traditional cultural norms around it, emotional expression and restrictions around it, all that stuff. Just normal shit that all of these guys who I'm trying to talk to out there, and also in my clinical practice, which luckily, you know, I have their ear and so they actually listen to me. But in general, to understand that this stuff doesn't actually come naturally, right? It's not something we're going to just fucking absorb from our organic existence in our cultures of origin. It's not going to happen. We have to learn it from somebody. And if we don't have examples of men like that in our existence who are able to communicate with affection and intimacy and all these other things, how are we going to figure it out? Hopefully you come to therapy with me or someone like me anywhere in the world if you can access somebody so you can sit down and learn these skills. It doesn't take long. I'm not talking about fucking years of therapy. I'm talking about maybe 8 sessions to figure out some soft skills. So to answer your question, no, it doesn't come naturally. Believe me, ask my sisters. I might be more emotionally expressive than my sisters are. You have to ask them that question. But I learned this stuff in part because I became a psychologist. And in order to do my work, I have to be able to do that. I have to be able to emotionally attune to my clients. And so they didn't also teach me that in the Marine Corps, because I served 4 years in the Marine Corps and I served in combat and I did a lot of things. And they don't teach you vulnerability in the Marine Corps, but I could tell you they do when you are becoming a psychologist in Boston. I learned those skills becoming what I am today and what I do today and what my passion is today, which is just to help people love each other more fiercely.
Thank you for your service, because it's very much needed in today's world. We feel like we're headed into a love crisis or a love deficit, where people may want to love, they want to feel the love, but they don't know how to love or how to even show that love. And something you said that brings up a lot for me is the fact that this culture, at least the US culture, the way we idolize people, it's just so wrong. We idolize, in terms of hetero men, we put these men on a pedestal where, like an Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, where they don't give a shit about their families. All they're doing is making money and maybe disrupting the industry. And then for the women, we idolize women who don't need no men, who got their degrees, who got their shit together, they're CEOs, they're girl bosses or whatever. They're like doing everything. And those are the women we idolize. And these two characters that we're idolizing are opposing characters. Do we not see that? The men are not family people and the women don't need men. So you believe that the younger and middle-aged men are the loneliest they've been in generations, and you think it's going to get worse. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you already laid it out. Thank you for laying that out so beautifully. No, I mean, listen, there's an opportunity here. Let me speak to the opportunity and try to answer your question at the same time. I don't know if I'll be good enough to do it, but the opportunity here is Gen Z, okay? The millennials, are you all millennial? I'm a millennial. I'm an elder millennial.
We're all very elder. Well.
Okay.
Yes.
But listen, everybody, millennials this, millennials that, we're basically saving the world right now. So everybody calm down, all right?
We've learned how bad it could be, right? And that's why we're saving the world.
Yes. We are the bridge.
We are the bridge.
To something beautiful here. And I think it's Gen Z, to be honest with you, and everyone after. Now, listen, I don't have a child yet, although I hope to be a good dad someday. But my oldest niece, who's 30, just had her first child in the UK. And I think about her, my great niece now, and I think, like, what is the existence in this world that I'm going to leave her? Talk about role models. I don't look at any of those people you mentioned as a role model, FYI. I think about the highest virtue that I have, which is love. And what is Gen Z doing now that's maybe will fuck them up, but also could save the world? They're like less intimate, less connected, less in the college years. I've been talking about that in psychology days. And you mentioned this, there's an intimacy gap. There's all these things. But if we millennials and everyone after us, specifically Gen Z, can really get their act together with this emotional connection thing, I think the opportunity exists for us to actually achieve more intimacy, more connection, and the kind of love that we all want to experience, which is a fierce, healthy love and a secure attachment with someone who adores us and, like, wants to champion our dreams. And we know that these relationships already exist. John and Julie Gottman have 50 years of scientific research to suggest the masters of long-term relationships work. I'm just hoping more of your audience members meet those people as they're dating.
So what's really fascinating, and I definitely want to go in more depth, but UA kind of alluded to this, that the society, the way it's projecting certain archetypes. And I would argue that it's women too, like less and less emphasis on relationships and more about building own identity is what we've seen portrayed. I guess from your perspective, like, why do you think this is detrimental and we really do need to prioritize love and love each other fiercely?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't disagree with the statement you've just made. And I was recently doing a interview with a reporter in Sweden who was talking to me something around this, what you're talking about, which is like, what happens actually? We're not there, by the way. We're not fucking in there.
We're not there
yet.
We're
not anywhere near there.
That's why we need this convo now. This is why we need the convo now to get ahead of it.
Yeah, but she was saying to me, well, what happens if you do experience some level of gender quality in a romantic relationship on a date, et cetera, et cetera. Now, who is the one pursuing? Who's the whatever, right? We're not there yet.
Just more like, you know, why is love even important? Because our society is, you know, de-emphasizing it. And I think it's not just men, it's women also.
So one of the reasons, if you look at the data in terms of college age daters, and you see the intimacy and the frequency of dating and sexual intimacy and all this stuff go down, one of the things that sociologists are pointing to, as you're mentioning, are these norms around prioritization of other values, mm-hmm. away from marriage, away from yada yada, more toward financial freedom, and of course, becoming, you know, queens. I'm all about women being the best existing version of themselves. Because if men are the best versions of ourselves, we can figure that shit out.
Right.
Has the pendulum swung too far? Is that what you're suggesting? I don't think so. I think the fucking pendulum needs to swing harder, that there's an actual consistent shift in gender norms. We're not there yet. The fucking tipping point hasn't been in America, I can tell you for sure. And if you look at the Middle East and other places, you definitely have fucking problems.
Right.
Let's hold that thought, because we have a quick message from our sponsors. Okay, we talk a lot on the show about attraction, relationship dynamics, and why we fall for people who are completely wrong for us. And this book captures all of that. I just finished reading Behind Closed Doors by Shane Rose, and I could not put it down. It's so spicy, suspenseful, and genuinely addictive. So here's the setup. A woman's life gets turned upside down when danger finds her at work. And suddenly, she's whisked away to an ultra-private billionaire enclave as the live-in nanny for this brooding, powerful, impossible, possibly magnetic single dad, forced proximity, a secret society, and a hero who is protective, possessive, and very much off limits. The tension? Absolutely unhinged in the best way. As someone who loves studying relationship dynamics, this push and pull in this book hits different because it's not just romance. There's real suspense and secrets unraveling the whole time. It's think Desperate Housewives meets spicy dark romance. Behind Closed Doors by Shane Rose, book one of the Kept in Paradise series, is on sale now wherever books are sold in print and ebook.
You may or may not have known this, but we actually got our start with our podcast, Dateable. For the last decade, we've been studying modern dating, having thousands of conversations, hearing the patterns, and seeing what actually works or what doesn't. What started as honest conversations turned into something so much bigger. A book, How to Be Dateable, which was published last year with Simon & Schuster, is everything we wish we knew when we were out there dating. The mindset shifts, the patterns, the real talk no one else is saying. So if you're dating or you have a friend, sister, coworker, whoever who is, go grab a copy at howtobedatable.com or wherever books are sold. You can get audiobook, hardcover, or Kindle edition. Because being dateable isn't about changing who you are. It's about finally understanding how you show up.
Here's another way to think about this question too, but I'm curious what you think of this. We do have a lot of male listeners who've told us they've given up. I'm in my late 30s or I'm in my 40s. It hasn't worked out for me. I'm just going to sit back and see what happens. If it doesn't happen for me, it doesn't happen for me. We've actually heard many women say this too, but in a much more combative tone. But the point of this is a lot of people are giving up on love and relationships, thinking that maybe I shouldn't try as hard and I wouldn't have all these headaches that I have with modern dating. What is your response to that?
Dating and relationships comes down to the most important element of anything I've ever taught or spoken about when it comes to relationships, which is creating shared meaning. And creating shared meanings comes from a deep understanding of our core values and what's most important to us. If love was one of those things growing up, if the idea of creating a home with someone else that was peaceful and caring and supportive, and if you want to exist in a world where your aspirations and dreams actually become reality, where you can be the queen or the king, or you can be the boss in whatever sense, then you want a fierce, healthy love. Because a fierce, healthy love is going to support those dreams becoming a reality. And your ability to experience not only your own emotional, physical, spiritual version of this life in a different new way, but you're going to create something that cannot be created alone. So yes, of course you could do beautiful, wonderful things as a single human being. And I'm certain that the men who talked to you about this were not very happy about that. I know I can speak just from myself right now. anyone who's creating anything, anyone who's building anything, mm-hmm. anyone who believes in legacy, not only in that they've inherited something amazing, both culturally and financially, maybe whatever, but that they want to carry on a tradition and perpetuate a tradition, a new tradition that's worthy of legacy, is going to want to not give up on love. And I hope they don't. Holy smokes. Ladies and gentlemen, do not give up on a healthy love.
I mean, I think you bring up such good points, like of just what love could be. And it's unfortunate because dating right now is not what you described. This harmonious, like peaceful, happy place of meaning. And I think that is part of the problem. And I think you brought up a good point too, that women are becoming financially secure powerhouses that can do it alone. And that's why your article is seeing that men could get left in the dust if they don't step it up a notch. But I think ultimately, both men and women don't want that.
Nobody wants that.
No one wants it. Exactly. And it's like, I'm glad that you're kind of bringing to light. So I want to go through like some of the main parts of your article. And, you know, you talk about there's a few key things that are contributing to these challenges. So dating apps are one of them, relationship standards, and a skill deficit. So I guess to kick it off, maybe like, how do you think dating apps make it harder for men?
Yeah, just the numbers game, which I already mentioned. That numbers game is fierce. And I don't care where you might measure yourself on the attractiveness scale, physically or the whole total profile, how well you think you've crafted those one-liners, those witty prompts, whatever it is, if you're on Hinge or Bumble or anything else. Which, by the way, I recommend Hinge. I don't recommend Bumble if you're a single man. And we can get into that, too. I don't know. You might want to get into that.
We want to hear that. Yeah. So it's usually the opposite for
Is
Bumble.
That?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, sugar. Anyway. but yeah, bottom line, you have to craft something that's almost fucking just stellar. You could be the most attractive human being. Doesn't matter. The number game alone crushes the spirit of women. Okay. Because there's just so much coming through that you have to pull off an initial impression, just like any other time in world history. And to be able to pull off that first impression in an emotionally evocative way, which is the only fucking way you're going to stand out unless you're just super fucking hot. You have to be able to actually have the soft skills to be able to initiate a conversation like that, you know, an initial message or anything else.
We talked to Michael Kay, who's the head of communications and PR at OkCupid, and he was talking about what women want has dramatically changed. Used to be tall, dark, and handsome. They're financially secure. Like, those were the big things that women were going after. And now it's emotional availability, communication skills, more of the soft skills that are different. I think that's actually a really good thing that we're evolving to what we're looking for, because you would argue that in the past, that was just setting us up for vastly unequal relationships and gendered situations. Do you think that's the root of it? That like men alone can't just rely on what they once did and they have to adapt to kind of the new standards? Is that what you're saying with the dating apps, or is it a different thing?
Well, the new standards are across the board. And I just want to take it out of the context of the gender piece, even just to say that if you would work with me in couples therapy, I would be talking to you the same way, regardless, whatever your viewpoint. But the bottom line is this, you have to be able to pull off the soft skills, and the soft skills may have been in some way, shape or form gendered or whatever in the past, but they can no longer be. You need to be able to understand how in each moment of every day of your life, your thoughts, your emotional experience, and your actions all arise interdependently. You have to be mature enough and responsible enough to recognize that, to be open to potentially, if you need, to figure out those skills with a professional, a mental health professional, a coach. I don't care where you get it. You can go on TikTok at A Better Love Project and learn everything you need to know about a healthy, fierce love for free. By the way, it's my charity. But the bottom line is you got to get the skills, because the standards have changed. People are not going to settle for things anymore. We already see that. Mm-hmm. We see 50, 60, 70-year-olds divorcing their partners because they're not happy. Marriages, which for most people who are dating, monogamous marriages is still the goal, are going to get harder and harder and harder as we live longer and longer and longer. Mm-hmm. That means we need to have better matches from the start. Why the fuck would you choose someone who cannot emotionally connect with you? Why would you choose someone who cannot communicate effectively with you? Why would you choose somebody who does not respond effectively to your bids when you're texting each other before a first date? Mm-hmm. The standards have changed.
Oh my gosh. It's because we're living longer. I mean, it really is, like you said, because back in the day when the life expectancy was 50 years old, you get married, you pop out a few babies, and then you die. Like, it's pretty fast. You don't have to worry about your relationship or empty nesters. You just die before you have to work on your relationship. And now we see so many people after they become empty nesters having to work on the relationship and then going through divorce. And this is actually such a major pattern in China right now, where the divorce rates are skyrocketing, especially since COVID, because the culture really did not see favorably divorce back then. But now, because people are living longer, it's just becoming more prevalent, and the government doesn't know what to do with it. They're like, what the fuck is happening? So that is actually really interesting, that our life expectancy is feeding into our relationship standards. And that's also what's causing this loneliness, because now we are taking our time to find our partners, and it's very confusing. And the third contributing factor to this is skills deficit. Tell us more about that.
I mean, this is exactly what I think Julie maybe mentioned a little bit of this earlier, those communication skills or the soft skills that we need in life. I mean, but listen, we're not talking about some like strange, rare things. I'm talking about when you get home at the end of the night, giving your wife a kiss and a hug, maybe, or if she's coming home, that when she gets home, you give her a hug and a kiss, that you seek understanding and emotionally validate your partner versus trying to persuade them of your perspective on something. Bringing up issues to one another with gentle startup, like, I feel sad, I didn't get a hug this morning, can you give me one now? Like, if we just learn these simple formulaic ways, so maybe we've got a solution here for the government out in China. If you just figure out these very core life skills for emotional connection and everybody learned them, life would be so different.
I think, though, you know, it's all kind of tying together. It's like we, our generation too, was a byproduct of divorce. Like our parents, you know, outside of China, in the US culture, divorce was the most prominent with our parents' generation. And I think like we saw that like what we've been told with relationships doesn't work. And we're wanting better. And part of it's that we're living longer. Part of it's that women can support each other. Like it all plays together. I agree with you that I think this is a universal issue for men and women. It doesn't matter necessarily your gender. It's just, can you adapt and learn the right skills? And again, not every woman has these skills either, but we do know that women read more self-help books. We do know that women listen to more self-improvement podcasts, more relationship podcasts. If you're the guy listening to this right now, you are ahead of the game. And yes, you are.
Cheers to you, brother.
You know? And like, that's the thing is though, but I totally agree, is like the more I even did this podcast, I feel like my relational skills and my EQ, I think people really value EQ over IQ at this point. Not that they don't value IQ either, but like EQ is something we hear over and over again as a top trait that people desire in a partner. And I think what I'm gathering from you is that like men are not socialized this way. So it's a lot of catch up that needs to happen, a lot of taking ownership. Like how do men start to do this work essentially?
And I'm going to take this out of the context of men for a second because my answer is going to get to that. But there's a lot of conversation in my audience about narcissism, narcissists, et cetera, et cetera. All right. And I don't know, you may have like done a million episodes on narcissists point. I don't know.
People love throwing that word around.
We hear people, but I would say that's like challenges the EQ of women in that case to just throw that out each day.
Oh, I like that. Okay. All right. All right.
I'll go viral for that saying.
No, I push back on this all the time on my show because I say, hey, listen, people who are narcissistic personality disorders, very small group of people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're mostly men. We understand that, but very small group of people. Now, is it the case, and I talked to my audience about this, is it just the case that we have lost connection with skills or maybe never learned them to be able to validate emotions in the first place? Mm. And that's the more likely thing.
Mm. I see what you're saying. So it's not like necessarily intentional. It's just lack of skill.
And so at the end of the day, the only way that this is going to get resolved is action. And I don't know what the solution is because I started this nonprofit with the intention of talking to couples. And unfortunately, you know, ends up being 97% of my audience is women, to your point. So I'm not reaching men unless they're angry at me.
Right.
So I don't know what the solution is.
That's why you're here today, because we have men. We have men here.
Yes. Maybe it is good to reach out to the ones who are angry because they are ready for a change, or they are listening at least. But the kind of a gendered statement here is we do have women telling us, I'm just so ahead of the game when it comes to self-awareness and personal development that I find men not really closing the gap who are in my age range. So how do I find the right guys for me who are emotionally equipped to be with me? And so what I'm hearing you say is it's maybe, you know, for anybody in this position should rethink that statement. And it's less about the skills that someone has, but more about, are they willing to learn? And do they have the necessary passion to learn?
Yeah. And I think it takes a stance of non-defensiveness. That is the most important thing in any of this. The antidote, in my view, to this sort of narcissism, I'm going to say that in the broader sense, is the antidote to defensiveness. And the antidote to defensiveness is taking ownership for just maybe a little piece of whatever it is that we're hearing, whoever it is that's saying something to us about our place in the context of the issue, whatever that is. Even if we don't agree, we don't even need to not get defensive. Always say, oh, maybe I did that. Tell me more. wait, maybe I can grow. Tell me more.
Right.
Oh, maybe there's something I can learn. Maybe I can improve. Maybe I can be a better leader. Maybe I can be a better coach. Maybe I can be a better business, whatever, with all of the social skills I'm going to learn on how to love my partner more effectively.
So I think some of it, though, too, I was just thinking, like, you know, to get to therapy, usually something needs to happen. A lot of times there needs to be the big breakup or, you know, some other challenge. Maybe it's not even related to love, but just in your personal life that got you there. Maybe the challenge in itself is just that dating isn't going my way.
Yeah.
But I think what's hard is that women have been socialized for so long that, like, love is the ultimate achievement. Getting
married. I've been socialized that way too. I'm there with you. But I know I get you. I don't know. Do you think men truly don't want that fierce, amazing, passionate, sexy, fiery fucking love that we're talking
absolutely about? Absolutely, they want it. But I think this is where I think there might be the disconnect because of the way we've been socialized.
Okay.
Is that, like, when it doesn't happen, you're just like, oh, I'll just ignore it and focus on the stuff I've been socialized that, you know, equates to success. For women, though, that's like, oh my God, I need to seek out help. I need to listen to the podcast. I need to get the self-help book. It's more of like a fire drill that's happening. Where men, it might just be like, I'm just going to brush it to the side. And, you know, maybe I haven't been on a date in 6 months.
Focus on my career.
Right. Exactly. But, like, the problem, though, with that is that there's less eligible men in the pool. Those men still aren't happy, right? If ultimately deep down, you're right. I do think this is what they desire, because who doesn't want a meaningful connection that is going to propel you in life? But I just don't know if it's always as self-aware, if that makes sense.
Yeah, if they knew that if they wait too long, they're going to fuck themselves up, I think they would take action quicker. What do I mean by that? The longer people stay out of the dating pool, avoidance starts to creep up, anxiety, and prioritization then shifts to other things, because now I don't even want to be anxious. I don't even want to be uncomfortable.
Right.
I don't want to face rejection. I don't want to face all those things. So time is of the essence, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let another day pass by with these women on dating apps without good choices. Go get some new skills. Use them on Hinge.
I mean, that's a big thing. Biological clock for women. There's not that pressure for men too.
There's a pressure for me. I'm looking at the situation. I'm saying, okay, I'm 39. I'm going to turn 40. What is it that I want in my life? I told you earlier I was divorced. You know, I was married. I had a fierce love, by the way. That was amazing. It was very meaningful. What do I want in my life? The biological clock is with us as well. We just don't fucking talk about it the same way.
Right, right.
Maybe that's it.
And we just got to start reshaping the conversation entirely. I don't know entirely how to do it, but I'm looking for someone who is of a certain age because I want the most amount of time loving on her and my children. That's the actual thought that goes through my mind.
So here's another generalization that I also think is somewhat true, is that women, you know, prioritize friendship more for the most part, not all women.
In romantic relationships or generally?
No, just in general, just like connection with other people is always at the forefront. Like,
they're so much more advanced in that regard, may I say?
I feel like
you are more advanced.
Like, there's an SNL skit of like all these women bringing their boyfriends to the dog park, to like the man park, to basically like meet another
social
guy. boyfriend. And I see it with like my boyfriend, my friend's boyfriends, like everyone. It's like, I think there's, it's not everyone, but it is, there is a little bit of different emphasis. And I think part of it is we have an outlet. Like we have the people to talk about this stuff with. Like, how do men start to, one, either have those deeper combos if they do have that friend group, or how do they start to find people that they can talk to about this type of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a diversity of experience and your exposure to a diverse group of people. If you're hanging out in LA and you're, you know, going to yoga with me or something, and we strike up a conversation after class, we're going to have some kind of, you know, right? It depends on who is around you. And so if you're in a friend group who don't prioritize that, and it's just about functional things, it's not about emotional depth or vulnerability or like, oh, fuck, I'm sad. Can you hang out? Let's go watch a movie together, guy friend. Now, I can tell you, I have one sincere friend that I've had since seventh grade, and he's a guy friend. And I can tell you, there is nothing more rewarding than having a friendship with another man, but it comes with great difficulty. I can tell you that for elder millennials and probably still. And it's not even that it's not a priority. It's just we're still, this is our disadvantage, brothers, if you're listening to this right now. This is our disadvantage that we need to take action to make up for the disadvantage that we don't have these prioritizations. Because what happens is we then rely too heavily on our spouses or our partners or whatever for all that emotional goodness. But if you can also get that intimacy and closeness from other guys, it'd be great. How are they going to do it? How are they even going to know? How are they even going to know they're missing out on it? Unless they're listening to your podcast right now. I hope everyone is listening to your podcast.
I feel like we could talk about this for another 10 hours about how there are these roles in dating that are so deeply ingrained in dating culture that it makes it hard for people to break out of the mold. The tropes that I speak of are the guy who's non-committal because he wants to be a bachelor for life, the girl that asks for a commitment after three dates because her biological clock is ticking, the nice guy that never gets any girls because there are these fuckboys who are getting all the girls for them. It's these tropes that makes it really hard for men to break out of the shell and say, I actually am not that, or actually she's not that. I hear guy friends talking like this all the time. In fact, my partner and his friends talk like this all the time. Oh, she's just another one of those approaching 40s and, you know, her biological clock is ticking. I'm like, actually, no, your friend is the douchebag who's leading her on to make her think that she is in a relationship, right? So I think it's almost the responsibility is on us, whether you're dating or not, to really call out these stereotypes that are so ingrained in us and say, no, that's not the role that he or she is falling into. In fact, here's a better way of looking at the situation. I hope we can all do that for our friends.
I hope we could give people confidence too that like these are the skills or the traits that women actually want. Because I think, you know, sometimes men feel like, oh, it's these, you know, the stereotypical stuff still.
Yeah.
And it's not like the vulnerability, it's not the EQ and all that stuff. But we've also heard before, like Connor Beaton, we've had him on our podcast. He does a lot of men's work and he's made comments through his kind of research of like women say they want the vulnerable guy, but then if they cry, they get turned off. Like, how do we start to kind of show men it's okay to be this way too?
Yeah, I think we should start from a place understanding that we're all confused. And that's a place of vulnerability. By the way, which is a beautiful place for emotional connection to begin. It's to say, we're all confused. We want, and if you just think about the gender thing, right? We want this. We want freedom, independence. We want choice. We want emotional connection. We want, and we may want something different in different contexts. So let me use the sex as a, I'm a sex therapist in LA. We may want our partners to show up in a particular way if we're making a big decision about how we're going to spend the weekend or whatever, summer, but in a bedroom or whatever, and sexually, we may want our partner to dominate us. So that could be confusing for a man, for instance.
Yes, definitely.
But it's not about the man's confused. It's, we're all reshaping the norms and the rules so that we can have the kind of love that we want, not somebody else. And if we're communicating what we want from our partner, that's the only thing that matters, really. You know, I mean, I hope that that's the kind of love that I talk about because that's the kind of love I believe in.
I have hope.
I want to dive into this even more, but before we do, let's take a quick break to hear from our partners.
Staying present in a relationship might be really difficult sometimes because it's not just one date. It's every night on the couch, every meal, every, wait, what did you just say? Moment. That's where Brick comes in. Brick is a simple device that helps you put boundaries around your phone so you can actually be with your partner. You just pair the device to your phone and it locks distracting apps, and suddenly you're not half listening while trying to reply to texts or checking Instagram. Now, it's not about cutting out technology. It's about choosing presence during dinner, before bed, or when you're having a real conversation that deserves your full attention. Because relationships don't fall apart from one big thing. They fade from too many small moments of distraction.
If you want to be more present with your partner, check out Brick. Go to getbrick.app/POR show for 10% off. That's getbrick.app/POR show.
But I feel like we're at an inflection point too, that the fact that you're stirring shit up for people is a good thing. Think that it can't just be that we're saying, okay, men, you don't have the skills. Like, that's not really going to get us to where we want either.
No.
It's this place of understanding that I love this, that we're all fucking confused. Like, that is the best way to put it. And, you know, we might not have all the answers today, but like, we're on this journey to figure it out. Like, how can women support men instead of just, because what we see is, oh, they did this, I'm out.
Yep.
Like, it's just, there's no conversation. There's no benefit of the doubt. And I get it, because we've been burned before. We don't want to fall for the fuck boy. We don't want to fall for the non-committal guy. Like, all the tropes that UA was talking about earlier. Like, how do we balance all this and help people out in dating?
Well, first of all, I think it's like up to each of us to show up as our best self in dating, right? So no one is responsible. Like, the women aren't responsible necessarily. And you're not saying this, but let me just make it clear that I think this. Women are not responsible to teach men social skills. And so how they could be supportive is just, I think I understand what you're talking about in terms of this guy's out. You know what I mean? Like, maybe there's a little bit of a hiccup in terms of responding to something that's said, or maybe not getting back in time or something. And that relationship is then foreclosed on too soon. That definitely could happen if there's a history of insecure attachments, if there's a history of abusive relationships, all those things. And it would make total sense that you would feel that way. My hope, my friends, is that you don't have to do anything. You just have to show up as yourself and keep looking for those people that are as close to the match as you want to get. Now, if you listen to Indian Matchmaker on Netflix, she says something like 60%. I would say 80%. You know what I mean? But that's because I'm hopeful, ladies and gentlemen, that I am going to find the person of my dreams. And I'm going to create someone with them. And I'm hopeful about that because I've got 50 years of research that I'm looking at that suggests that there's amazing people. One couple, by the way, John and Julie Gottman, who just celebrated, I think, the 35th wedding anniversary. That's John's third wife, by the way.
So Is it really? I never knew that.
Yeah, John got it right the third time.
No way.
And he created a legacy of love with her.
Wow.
So that's hopeful for all of your listeners, hopefully.
I mean, there's definitely trends, you know, like there's a trend that sounds so horrible of like raising your boyfriends that feel like instead of raising children, they have to.
I think I just twitched. Did you see that?
I know. And I 100% am not telling anyone they should ever do that. Like, I think that might be the worst thing you could do. What I'm hearing from you, though, Greg, is instead of focusing like how to support, like how do you become the emotionally available, communicative, all the things and make this less gendered, and then let the people that are there, like, you'll start to be attracted to them. And I think, like, for me, my partner, I felt that way. As soon as I met him, I'm like, okay, I see it because I know what I'm looking for at this point. And I also let other qualities go, you know, like qualities I thought were really important, because the reality is people aren't going to meet everything. Like, you know, the stuff that doesn't matter ultimately, like they're in the right social circle or they dress this way, like things that ultimately don't matter. So I do feel like, yes, we can give people more of the benefit of the doubt, but we also can maybe more just focus on becoming the person we want to date and then, you know, letting those people come up.
Well, because we are the trendsetters. And women, ladies and gentlemen, if we fucking don't have a clue here, women everywhere in Iran and everywhere else are going to accept only what they're going to accept. And the choice is very simple in my mind, because I love women. And as an individual man, I hope to be in a relationship with a woman one day. That I would love to just show up as myself, as the fierce fucking person I am, and my partner to show up as the fierce person she is. And then for us just to champion each other, right? Because now you're setting the trend yourself with the culture and the norms that you define in your own home. When we start thinking about that and what we have control over, you're going to be in a good position, less stressful that way.
Yeah. And it makes it a lot easier than teaching or raising. If you're teaching or raising, it absolutely builds resentment. And then the person you're raising will become dependent on you for new skills, new knowledge, new learnings. So yes, we can only control our own culture and be the person we want to be and attract the people in our lives. Let's address the elephant in the room before we leave this conversation.
Okay.
The lonely single men out there. They read your article. They're listening to this episode. They're thinking, yep, Greg, you see me. I'm in this spot. Now what? How do I get out of this hell that I feel like I'm in?
To be lonely is no joke. It's a deeply sad place to be. Hopefully a transient thing, like most emotional and mood periods. And the most important thing to recognize is do not start to identify with the label that I've been hearing, which suggests you will always be single and celibate, which I think I just heard this incel. I heard this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't identify with some restrictive label that will lead you to a place of more loneliness, more sadness, more disconnection. In this world, we need a connection. We especially men need each other. We need to be connected to each other in beautiful fucking ways. And we need to build community. The way to do that is to seek out people who are maybe in a different situation than you are. Is there somebody in your community? Is there somebody in your school? Is there a classmate? Is there somebody who maybe they do okay? Why not introduce yourself to that person? Why not become friends? Why not maybe learn some of those skills just by hanging out with the person, like how to talk about stuff and when things are, and why not hang out with that person and tell them that you're fucking feeling sad? That is how growth is going to happen, is when you recognize, holy shit, I'm a human being. Confused, like Dr. Greg and everyone else. Mm-hmm. How can I grow? What's available to me? And there's always an option for growth. I don't care where you are. There's always an option for growth.
Well, this has been such a good conversation. I mean, I have so many takeaways. I think the biggest one is what we said earlier, is that it's okay that we're just confused. We're trying to figure it out. Not to say that like having grace for others means that you should lower your standards, but just realize that we're all trying our best here. And instead of like call people in again, you know, like you need to do what works for you. But ultimately that just saying like this person isn't doing this or that, that's not really getting to the core of what we want either. If we want a loving, fulfilling relationship, I think what this conversation is doing is actually helping us rise to the best. The fact that we saw our past generations, their relationships not being fulfilling, and we have a sense of what we're looking for, like that should be a good sign. The fact that your article ruffled some feathers actually means that we're holding people to higher standards. Like you said, an opportunity for us to grow and I hope rise to the top. So that's kind of the, I think ultimately what we're getting out of this hopefully is a better dating environment, but we also need to be that person too. We can't just call people out for not doing it or not knowing. And I think we also need to reshape the priority of love in our lives. Like we talked about earlier, how it's socialized and it can be really hard if you have no good examples of love. Like I even know for myself, like my relationship now, it's beyond what I ever even thought was possible because it wasn't the relationships I had when I was dating. And it's so easy to be like, dating is so painful. Like, why even prioritize this? But how do you start to imagine the relationship you want, pave your own path, and like hold that standard? Because I think that's ultimately the fire that we need to like seek help and get that growth.
There's an amazing quote by Grace Lee Boggs who said, "We are the leaders we've been waiting for."
Yeah.
And I think that's the case in our relationships. We are the ones we've been waiting for to set the new trend for the kind of emotional connection that we need. And if we do it now, ladies, we can figure it out. 50, 100 years, it'll all be worked out.
Yeah. And I think this message is alive, for both. I think women have at their advantage that we've been socialized this way, that we have the support system. So I think we're a little ahead. Absolutely. But I do think everyone can become more emotional, like have a higher EQ and better communication. Like this is across the board.
No reason not to. There's absolutely no reason
if
not to.
If nothing else, will just set you apart from the other people. You could play There's No Matches. Here you go, right?
Here's the thing, though. Even after reading your article, I would say something that really jumped out at me. My big takeaway is that this is a humanity issue and not just a single man issue. And for so long, I feel like we look at these issues in silo for that specific group. Oh, women should work on that. Oh, men should work on that. The gay community should work on that. Black people should work on that. We're finally getting to a stage where we see, okay, we all need to do better for this group. So after reading this article and after this conversation, it makes sense that yes, there exists more lonely single men out there. We as a society, as a community, need to be better for them. We need to help each other and not just let them figure it out on their own. And this plays so much into dating because I know so many people out there are like, well, men need to get their shit together. I've said that many times. Men should get their shit together. It's not my problem. I'm not here to teach them. I'm not here to be their mom. It isn't our problem in terms of teaching, but it is our responsibility to also support and show empathy and really be there for each other. So that's kind of like my major takeaway from this is we all need to be part of the solution here. And the other takeaway I have is we got to surround ourselves with the right people. If we keep surrounding ourselves who play into these stereotypes, these dating tropes, bad dating behavior, that's all we're going to see as a norm, even if we don't feel like we don't belong there. But if we can surround ourselves with people that we, like you said, have a situation or feel like they have some stuff figured out, nobody has all their shit figured out, but has some of their shit figured out, let's put ourselves in their orbit and really let that just be part of us instead of us trying to seek that knowledge.
Go to yoga with Greg. He's there to give you enlightened words. But there were so many times that we'd be like, this is a stereotype of men, and you're like, I'm not that way, which means that a lot of people aren't, but the way that our society perceives it is a certain way. So I think for women, again, like you said, Yue, like it's not directly affecting us, but it is. If that's who you're trying to date, then it is affecting. Yeah. So it's like maybe the takeaway for women is how do you start to unlearn some of these tropes and look at the person as a human being?
And stop fantasizing about the commune you're going to build with all your girlfriends, which is what I've said at least five times in the last month. Like, oh my God, we don't need men. Yes. They're becoming obsolete. I'm just going to be in a commune with all my girlfriends, which sure, that's could happen.
If that's what you truly want. Sure.
But that's not what I truly want. I do still want love with a man. So good to know.
My face hurts because I'm smiling so much.
Well, thank you so much, Greg. We're so glad that we had you and we went deeper than the article. This has been such a good conversation. I know, hopefully inspiring, not scary for anyone that's feeling this way as a single man. And then hopefully also uplifting and empathy-based for anyone that's trying to date.
And if you haven't done so yet, subscribe to The Psychology of Relationships today so you don't miss an episode.
Bye.